This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat. Toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
NBA Finals.
NBA Champions. Finals. I did the Tough Mudder.
You did the Tough Mudder. I do want to talk about the Tough Mudder. Oh, I had a crazy trip this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah.
I went to an IndyCar race.
Nice.
In Fontana. And then we decided we were just going to go to fucking Vegas.
Were there a lot of Confederate flags at the IndyCar race?
Honestly, it was like there was nobody there.
No one. It was sad,
and it was amazing.
Really?
It was one of the most incredible things I've ever... I've always thought like IndyCar or like NASCAR, any cars.
Yeah.
Racing, it's boring to me.
Yeah. It's just loud.
It's loud. I don't even care that it's loud. It's that it is unbelievably like... You don't realize the thrill.
Yeah.
Like, you don't...
You're not in the
car. You don't get it, right? Yeah. But you're sitting there, and you're watching these guys do, like, a two-mile lap.
Yeah.
Right? And they do them within, like... They're going 240 miles an hour.
That's fucking
That's not
insane.
A joke. And they're doing pack racing. and IndyCars don't do pack racing.
Right.
And, like, we're...
What's pack racing?
Pack racing.
Just, like, in the...
Cars next to each other, lined up... Circles,
right?
Like
right,
most
right.
cases, you're supposed to have like a lot more space between these
and
cars.
They like jostle. And
yeah, they kind of move and they kind of like zip up, and now it's ahead and you're ahead for a little while.
Right.
This race was like these tires were within like a foot of each other, going 200 miles an hour, and it's like quick moves.
Dude, I
right?
couldn't do that. I get like pissed off when someone like in another lane is close to me.
Oh, got it. Imagine I'm like, going 240 miles an hour. Like you react angry, and you do it like that, you're a dead man.
I'd freak out.
Well, it was pretty like, and the crazy thing about it, I mean, aside from like the intense speeds and the just the energy, like you feel the energy of the cars, right?
Yeah.
It was like, so we decided to just do this magic trip to Vegas. We're like, well, we're an hour into our drive. Let's just go all the way to Vegas for the night.
Was it just in the, oh, so it was in the desert, like...
Fontana's like east of Los Angeles,
okay.
out towards like Victorville and Barstow.
Okay,
it's pretty far out, right? It's right before you end up having to go to the, over the mountains to get to Victorville and Barstow.
Who'd you go?
I was with Madeline, my girlfriend.
Nice.
And I was with Katie, which was Dan's niece.
Okay.
And then we were with this. I was with this guy named Sandeep, who is a employee over at the company. It's like
Sandeep. Irish.
Zyrus is the company from India, right? But he does some business stuff there. But we all just I picked them up in the morning and we like made jokes about going to Vegas and we're like, we're gonna fucking do it. And we did it.
So many people are like, guys, we're going to fucking Vegas, and then everyone's like, yeah, let's go. And everyone's like waiting for someone to back out so that everyone can back
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
But that's cool that you
I was just like, no, we're doing this. We got a room in Caesar's Palace.
What? That's right, I'm a bachelor party.
Did you? What do you think?
I love Caesar's.
Do you?
Caesar's is the shit.
It was a pretty cool place.
Like, have you ever stayed there?
I've never been to Vegas.
That was your first time?
First time.
That is fucking cool. That's the way to go, too.
Well, and you're like, if you stay at Caesar's or the Bellagio or whatever it is, like, you don't need to go anywhere else.
No.
Because, first of all, we got there at 9 o'clock at night, and it's 101 degrees.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go outside.
There's people who don't even, they get there and they just stay in the hotel the whole time.
You don't need to go anywhere.
I love that place. The pool is awesome.
Yeah, it's like 9 pools.
Yeah. The first day we got there, we just headed straight to the pool. They had like a swim-up bar. You could play blackjack in the pool.
Really?
Yeah. They had like the little stools where you sit and you're in water, so you could probably piss. And
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
They're bringing you drinks.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's like the classic experience at Caesar's, I feel. That's one of the best hotels. It's got to be.
It was pretty incredible. I don't care for, like, the smoking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People are, like, lighting up at the toilet. And yeah. I'm just kind of like, really? Like,
you can't wait? Yeah.
You can't?
You've had to have gotten used to smoking laws now where you don't need to smoke indoors anymore.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And
Nowhere allowed. Nobody allows that shit.
Nobody. And I'm surprised, actually, in a strange way, I'm surprised Vegas lets it happen.
Yeah. Well, I bet it's something to do with, like, all the regulations and all the money they've had to dump into their ventilation systems and shit. Yeah,
right.
So now they're like, well, we need to allow it because we spent so much money on making it possible.
And even still, they do a good job with their ventilation systems. But when it's all said and done, they're still like...
Still smells like smoke.
It still smells like smoke. And it's just... Like, I had a woman, I'm standing in line to check out. And she's standing in line to check out. She's right in front of me. And it's just like...
Cigarette in hand,
smoking, screwing around. She's talking with her hands. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus. I just want to check out already.
It's like that. It's like going to a nudist camp.
Yeah.
Like that. Like the second you're in there, you're naked. You're butt naked. Or and for Vegas, the second you're in there, you have a cigarette in your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you can.
Yes.
Just because you can.
And that's what Vegas does. It's really, it's pretty unbelievable.
Did you gamble?
I did. I lost $100. Madeline walked away with $87.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
That's good.
I would have lost more, but Madeline won back my $100 that I lost, but that I had given her.
Did you get addicted? Like, did you feel like the itch?
The thing is I love blackjack and I love to gamble. I've been to casinos.
Okay.
Right. Love blackjack.
Yeah.
Love to play blackjack. I don't really give a shit like how much the tables are. Like, I just want to play blackjack.
I suck at math, so blackjack is out.
Especially when I get drunk.
Brandon got me onto roulette.
Roulette's fun.
It's fun, but it's very dangerous.
Money really, really fast.
Yeah. Very dangerous, very boring, and you gotta place a lot of bets on the table to like win anything. But I was very scared of craps. But then someone broke it down for me, and I love craps.
Craps is a lot of fun.
It's so fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Everybody's on your same team.
Yep.
You win, they win. People are giving you money. People are cheering. And in every Vegas movie, that's the game everybody plays.
That's the game.
So everyone's so fucking happy playing it. I love that shit.
It's a lot of fun.
Love me some craps. Well, that's cool. You went to Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to go back. I haven't been back since the bachelor party.
Well...
You should go.
Yeah, I'm totally down. It's funny because...
We should go right now.
I can recover from my law.
Let's go, man. No,
it's an interesting thing. I'd like to have some time to be able to kind of like expand out when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just be at Caesars because there's so many things, right?
Yeah, you can go there. You can be a tourist. You can go there and see shows all night, all day. You can be a scoundrel and go to strip clubs all you want. You go to, like, there's these pool parties. You don't even have to go out at night. You can just go to the pools and
it's activity all day long, basically.
Yeah. Or you can do just a mix of it all. It's the shit.
We went into the Hyde Club.
Nice.
Katie actually got us in without a cover. We didn't have to wait in line.
The girls will do that.
Like, really smooth, you know?
That's so fucked up. It's sexist. It's so sexist.
Towards men.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry that I have a penis.
Yeah.
You won't let me in.
Yeah. And they'll be like, free for girls, 60 for dudes.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Well, you want to know what's odd about that is getting into clubs and places like that, high profile places, it's kind of like an ugly dude getting a date with a girl.
Yeah, I agree.
That's totally what it is. Like, it doesn't matter how good you look as a man. Like, this girl's the hottest girl in town.
Yeah.
And you have to wait in line to even say hello.
But all
like, you can't just bump into her at the grocery store.
And all the clubs know exactly what they're getting into. They know what they're doing. The girls know what they're doing. They're just getting it for free. It doesn't make your club look any better because all the clubs are doing it.
Exactly. I mean, here's why I do appreciate it. They limit the competition once you get in.
Mm, that's true.
You know? I mean, if I was a single guy.
You ain't getting in there. Or you're paying 60.
Or you're paying 60 and you're waiting an hour.
Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, the Omni Hotel at Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen this line. Unbelievable.
Just dudes.
Just to get in the club, in the hotel. And it's weird because the club is in the hotel.
Right.
So it's like you're going to the club. Oh, you're going into the hotel that you're staying in.
Yeah.
So you don't have to leave.
You don't have to go anywhere. It's awesome.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So.
You tough-mudded.
I tough-mudded.
What about it? Tell me about it. What happened?
All right. So me and like, I want to say like 10 of my fraternity brothers, they all live in Maryland, Virginia area. I flew over to Virginia, Doswell, Virginia. Yeah. It's like north of Richmond.
Okay.
It's not much there. But I thought I trained hard for it. I thought that like I could do this. It's like I heard it was like 10 miles. There's going to be a lot of obstacles. I guess I was pretty well prepared for it, but it kicked my ass. It was fucking hard. The Tough Mudder is hard as shit. If anyone is ever listening
to why was it hard? Just because it's like, it's so long.
It had to do with like where I was too. It was Virginia, East Coast, humidity, summer,
hot, humid.
It was so fucking hot. So hot. You know, I had on the high shorts, like some high soccer shorts. I had my good running shoes on. I had my compression pants that cut off under the knee so I didn't get like a bunch of mud of my dick or my butt, you know.
You don't need mud dick. Who needs mud dick?
Yeah.
Trying to like break through it.
Yeah, you gotta protect mud dick.
Exactly.
So we're there, it's like 9 AM, it's already like 85 degrees. We're all warming up, spraying like sunscreen on each other. It's like a scene out of Top Gun.
Nice.
Before like
really lotion up, exactly.
Hanging with the boys,
rubbing your arms. You start seeing the glisten off the pecs and the biceps.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it doesn't set in that like shit, I'm gonna have to like work out now, because I see my friends for like the first time in a long time, and like, we take this oath before we start running.
What's the oath?
It's like either all or half or a portion of the proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay.
All the obstacles were designed by like Marines and...
Oh, okay.
So, and like, it's all about like camaraderie and teamwork. And I don't know how, if you don't know a soul and you do the Tough Mudder, I don't know how the fuck you would complete it. Or if you're like first or if you're last, I don't know how the hell you would complete it. Because you need help on every fucking obstacle from like just a stranger. Yeah, it is hard work. But you take this oath and it's like, I will never leave another Tough Mudder behind. I will give up my soul, basically. Like, I feel like I'm giving up my right to live for this thing. So they blow the horn. They play like pumped up music. Yeah,
ready to go.
We're ready to go. And it starts. And then all my friends run. They like go ahead of me. They're gone. They're fucking gone. Because they were all in, like,
have they done it before?
A few of them had done it before, but they were all in way better shape than me. It was fucking hot. I'm not used to that. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna light jog this. We're gonna do a light jog. Then my buddy, he's a cop, and he was like, we start running, and he's like, oh, by the way, I didn't train to run this. I just lifted weights. And in my head, I was like, okay, you're a fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
This is 10 miles.
Yeah, yeah.
10 miles plus the obstacle.
So the whole race is 10 miles long.
Yeah. The whole race is 10 miles long, but it's broken up by like maybe 15 to 20 obstacles.
Okay.
All those obstacles, like, there's a line that like gathers up. So like,
yeah, you get like these big bottlenecks of people trying
exactly.
to climb over a wall or some shit.
You have time to like recover, but still, it's like they're broken up by like a mile or a half a mile.
What's a normal race time? What's your average Tough Mudder race time?
I have no idea.
10 miles?
It took, I think we started at like 10:15 and I ended at like 3:30 or 4. I think I ran 6 miles and walked 4. But I was surprised at all the people walking. But let me tell you about some of these obstacles. One of the first obstacles is you have to lift up this huge fucking tree trunk with like five other people. Five, and me and the slow guy, the cop, my buddy, we were with four other just randoms because
our team had already went ahead.
Our team, they're gone. So we're holding this thing with like a few girls. It's like a massive, it's for real, like a tree trunk.
It's a tree trunk, yeah.
Yeah. And so we have to walk it around like this huge room. Well, not a room, like a huge space. Like track, huge
yeah.
space. And there's all these walls with holes in it. And you have to like physically pass this trunk through the hole.
In the wall.
In the wall. And
take then, it out on the other side.
Yeah. And climb over the wall to reach the other side.
So you need to have a group of team that you all loaded in the hole. Then you have your smallest guy you can throw over the wall.
Exactly.
Get over there to kind of support the beam that you push through. And then people start going over.
Yeah. And then you're holding it on the other side. And it's like, this is the first one. And I'm like,
dying.
I'm done. Yeah. This is like the first obstacle. I'm like, I already want to go home.
You didn't come here to be a lumberjack.
Yeah, I came here to run this and like, you know, jump around in mud basically.
It's amazing.
But then there's other ones. I mean, there's EMTs at every option. People are falling out of this thing like war.
By the time you're done, you're the wounded warrior.
Yeah.
You should be getting a check.
Yeah, the project.
You have PTSD. It's a game over, right?
It's tough. And you have mud dick.
Yeah, exactly. You got mud dick for that matter, no matter how much duct tape you put around your scrotum.
Exactly.
From the mud.
There's so much mud dick in there. But there's another obstacle. You climb into this huge tub of just ice. It's just ice. And you climb up, you slide down, you hit this ice, and everything in your body just like
seizes.
Complete shock. You're like, your balls like go into your stomach. Like you don't realize it. You forget how to do everything. You can't move.
Really?
Yeah. It's so fucking cold.
And so you need somebody over on the other end to like pull you out.
Well, that, and once you're under there, there's a big wall of wood. So you're forced to go underwater into this, like for real, it's just ice. You're forced to go under the ice to go under the other side to get out. And to get out, you have to like push yourself up. So it's like
your muscles are so tight, yeah, from the cold.
So
water
fucking
there.
Tight. And it was just like 90 degrees outside. So then you're out of there.
Cold, immediate.
Oh my, it was a nightmare. You're climbing over walls. You're getting boosted up these like huge freaking just barriers. You're climbing over hay. There were these big like mud slides that you'd have to like, you like slide down in the mud. You're up into your neck in muddy water. And then on the other side, you have to rely on a stranger who's on the other side, like, give me your hand. Give me your hand. You know? And you're like, I don't know who you are, but like, get me out of here. People are like on your ass, like pushing you. And all I can do is be like, thank you. Thank you. But I mean, it does play, like, it does help because then, like, I want to help on the other side.
Exactly.
Like, then that guy leaves. And then I turn around and I'm like, give me your hand. But like, you have to do that like six more times. There's like six like muddy hills. Oh. You have to climb up, get pulled down. And then not only is it hot as shit, but you're wet. You're heavy. Every step in your shoes is like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's dreadful. That's the best way to describe it. It's dreadful. There's so many more obstacles, but the final obstacle is retarded. It's ridiculous. You're running. You have to run through this like pool of muddy water again. The whole thing is like muddy water or muddy something. Hence the name.
Tough mud.
Right. Yeah, tough mud. But there's this area and there's these live wires. Is it running?
Yeah, we're good.
Nice. So there's these live wires hanging from everywhere. And if they touch you, you'll get like an electric shock. And like, I thought it was just going to be like a little tickle or like a, ooh, like have you ever broken a lamp and like,
yeah, you touch it. It's just a little jolt.
Yeah, yeah, a little, yeah, tiny jolt. This was
grabbing an electric fence by the sound of it.
Maybe it might be times two the jolt of that you would from a light bulb, but like
low amps, high, yeah, voltage stuff.
Right. Everyone's running through this, like with their arms up, like they're guarding against like a boxing punch, you know what I mean? Like just hands up like that because we don't want to get hit in the face.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'll take that approach too. So I just start running. Everyone just a full sprint through, and like I got hit on the arm, and I'm just like, ah. You just kind of like,
you feel it.
Yeah.
It causes your muscles to react.
Yeah, your muscles react, and then like that happens again on my other shoulder, and then I get hit in the right cheek, and my whole body was just like, and then I just hit the deck, fell in the thing. It locked me completely up. After like a second, I bounced back up and I crawled the rest of the way out. And then the race is over. You get a headband, a power bar, and a t-shirt. And that's it. Then you're a tough one.
It's God. Crazy. You finished it, though.
I finished.
I mean, there's something to be said about the man that goes through that. And
yeah, I mean, I was
there a point where you thought, I'm not going to finish this?
Well, I forgot to say this, but I told my mom about it when I was over there. I visited with my mom and I showed her all these YouTube videos of it. And she looks at me after I showed her a video of they call it the electroshock therapy. I showed her a video of that and she looks at me. She's like, Daniel, don't be afraid to quit.
Mom knows, baby boy. Yeah,
don't be afraid to quit. And so, like, I told that to my whole team.
And they started laughing.
Yeah, so that was, like, our mantra. Don't be afraid to quit.
So that's going. Did anybody in your group quit?
No. No.
How far ahead did that group of yours go?
Let's just say they were dressed, had their free beer, and were ready to go by the time I finished.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, they probably ran more than 75% of it. But I mean, there was a ton of people walking. I did every obstacle, but I wanted to run more. Nice. But I'm blaming it on my cop friend who
was kind of like, you can't leave a man behind.
Yeah. You at least got to train Steve.
You got to be able to.
Yeah. If Steve ever listens to this, I'm throwing you under the bus here. You held me back and I flew 3,000 miles. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Steve.
I ran 60% of that race when I should have ran a damn near 80.
I should have ran a damn near 80.
But you don't ever leave a man behind.
You don't.
No matter how wounded
they are. No matter how wounded. I took that oath. He is my fraternity brother and my tough mutter brother. So you're welcome.
Now you should actually reverse that shit and tell all those people that just decided to run at the beginning.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Fuck you guys, right?
It's fucked up. I flew 3,000 miles.
And you guys ran.
Yeah, and I ran in nothing. I'm looking at the phone like they can hear me. Fuck you guys. But that was tough, Mutter.
Wow.
I'll do it again, but I'm not going 3,000 miles.
You'll do it again.
I would do it again out here.
All right. I met this girl that has an MBA from Stanford at an airport.
Yeah.
That works directly for Tough Mudder.
Really?
And she was saying, you know, they've grown leaps and bounds over the last several years. And it was an interesting conversation, but that was that.
We should get like a waterproof phone case and do a podcast while doing Tough Mudder.
What?
With a GoPro. This
is all we hear is just the word fuck. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, and they, I mean,
Jesus Christ.
They had all these water stations, all these like half bananas, nice. These little Gatorade, like gels. They like give you carbs and like you get to these like stations.
Pulling up and you just got a handful of Gatorade gels.
It didn't matter what it was. They could have fed me like cement in like a little Dixie cup. I would have eaten it.
Oh,
you're so hungry. It's so fucked. I would do it again, but not
like that. What was your recovery time like?
Oh, I was on my ass for at least 4 days after that. Like just, and I flew the next day. So I was sitting on an airplane
before you went and then after you went. I would have liked to know. I'd like to know how many calories you burn. I think you seizing up in an ice cold bath alone would kill like a day's worth of calories.
It could have, a few thousand. It's got to be.
It's like body shock.
Yeah.
Especially from like 10:30 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, you're just going. You're using every body part, every muscle group. Plus, you exude so much sweat. We were just drenched, you know?
And they were like really pushing, hydrating yourself at the same time, I imagine.
Yeah, everywhere there was water. Hot water, though. This is all fuck. It was so hot, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Crazy. But yeah, if you want to do it, I will do it. I'm trying to talk Densmore into doing it.
Okay.
But yeah. But I'll be the one holding.
It sounds like something that somebody that really hates themselves would do. So I guess you could sign me up for that.
All right. We're in.
Totally.
What else we got?
For whatever reason, what pops in my mind, did you hear about Antonio Davis? Is that his name?
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. Did you hear about his contract?
No.
They extended him for next year. His contract runs up until the end of this new year.
Uh-huh.
And then his extension kicks in. His extension is 5 years, $145 million.
Holy shit.
That's $28, $29 million a year.
How old is he?
22.
Oh, my God. Like, they don't air that many games.
No, he's from New Orleans. What game? They don't even air him in New Orleans. Nobody has a television in Louisiana.
They play at, like, Smoothie King Arena. How do they have that kind of money?
It's like Louisiana is like they're still in theater mode. Movies are reenacted by a live staging. You should have seen Jurassic Park in New Orleans. It was amazing.
Are you going to the basketball game, Joe? To watch Anthony Davis? Dude, that's a lot of money. What's Kobe gets like
Cody's got 25, I think, is what his is. But they're doing
done. They're like,
he got the one more. He's done. I guess I was reading on ESPN.com. They were talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. The headline was, LaMarcus Aldridge visits with the Lakers. Not impressed.
Not impressed. I heard some shit about that, too. But damn, 140. I mean, he's good.
He's 22, and he was like, honestly, if you didn't see any of him playing this year, last year.
Yeah.
He's
ridiculous, right?
He is the next thing after LeBron's done.
He's just going to be like unstoppable.
Unstoppable. I mean, he's really? Pretty much unstoppable now. He averaged like 25, 12 or 13, three blocks a game.
Jesus like Christ.
Unbelievable.
And he's got the brow.
He's the brow.
What's
the brow is going to be made of like dollar bills, $100,000 bills for that.
Yeah, balling.
Yeah.
You think you'd be able to afford a...
Well, when he came out of college, he was like Mr. Lurps Magoo, right? But then he decided to go home and eat all those Gatorade gels and gained 150 pounds, and now he's super built. And he's just unstoppable.
Killing it. Smoothie King Arena.
Exactly.
That's like the worst name of a stadium ever. That and what's Utah's? Like Energy Solutions?
Energy Solutions, which is like a nuclear waste company.
That's fucking terrible. Energy Solutions Arena.
It's like, why is it gotten to the point where there's no major company that is like, we see no benefit to name your stadium after us or pay you to name a stadium after us? Delta, the airlines, that originally it was called the Delta Center, after the airlines in Utah.
They're done.
They were like, well, once our contract's over with, we realized that didn't help us at all.
We're not into the Utah Jazz. And for that matter, why is Utah? I understand they were from New Orleans first, so they moved. But isn't that fucking lazy that they're still the Jazz?
It's still the Jazz. Give me something new. Be the Mountains.
Yeah.
Be the Utah Mountains.
The Utah Mountains. Or the Mormons.
The Peaks. Yeah, you could be the Missionaries.
Be the
Utah Missionaries.
Take it like a man. That could be your slogan. Energy Solutions.
But
apparently Aldridge said about the Lakers that they didn't impress him because they didn't talk about analytics or like basketball. They're still pushing this like Hollywood dream of like
come and play with us.
Yeah.
Come and be part of the big show.
Nostalgia. Yeah, like where history is made. I'll tell you, teams that talk about their history have no future. Any team.
It's like going into a old folks home and listening to old people talk about, when we were in our heyday.
Don't you want to wear the purple and gold like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? I don't know why I'm Irish right now. Play with Kareem.
All Lakers fans are Irish, basically.
I mean, it's ridiculous that's still their business model.
Well.
Of, we're the Lakers, we're good, we're in California.
Well, here's the benefit.
You're not good, you haven't been good.
And you've got two options. Who are you going to play for right now? Clippers?
If I had two options.
Or the Lakers. Like, I'm saying Southern California, because the Lakers bring people because it's one or two in the markets, right?
Yeah.
Biggest markets, right?
Right.
So, who would you rather play for? The Clippers right now or the Lakers?
I play for the Clippers.
I play for the Clippers. Why? Because they win.
You can win. You can win now. And right now, they're honestly cooler. They have Chris Paul. They dunk.
They have a team.
Yeah. They have a solid squad. They have a great coach. And new logo. Have you seen their logo?
Do you see they just got Paul Pierce?
Yeah. I saw that. I'm very sad about that.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
But... you have seen their new logo because it looks exactly like the Chicago Cubs.
Does it really?
It's like L-A and then like the C around it.
Oh, okay.
It's very Cubs-like.
That's kind of cool. I kind of
dig
that.
It's all right. I don't know how Pierce is going to work out there, though. Mm. With Lance Stephenson.
He's coming off the bench. He doesn't want to play 40 minutes a game. They're going to throw him in as the shooting guard.
Yeah.
Over Lance Stephenson.
And then Jamal Crawford?
Crawford's going to be there.
He'll
come out like you. The thing is you have a point guard. The benefit that they have here is they have a scoring bench that beats almost anybody in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a deep, deep bench that they can go to with Jamal Crawford and Paul Pierce. Like, these two can kind of create their own shot at any given time.
Yeah.
Right?
Agree.
And, you know, Lance Stephenson, if anybody gets hurt, you have somebody that's going to pop in that place.
He can step in.
And the nice thing about, like, Pierce is he's got the, like, fortitude and the brain power to be in there. And he's a passer, too. Like, he gets it.
Pierce will be good there. They still got to sign DeAndre again.
And I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know if that's going to happen either.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. And where are you going to go? The Wizards are dead set on getting Durant in 2016 now that they didn't match.
I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to get rid of Beal?
Nope. They have the money. Paul Pierce was like a placeholder for them.
Until they could get Durant.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. I don't know. We'll see. I always love free agency. It's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, NBA free agency is nuts. And they're saying Aldridge might go to the Spurs.
Yeah, that'll be
That would be awesome.
That'll be interesting. I mean, they need something. I think Aldridge is like, he can score big time, but he's not a leader.
But I think in the Spurs system, he will be unselfish like they ask. I mean, you saw him in Portland. He was the man, and they couldn't get it done. So maybe he needs a place where, like, they just share, you know?
Yeah, maybe
they just share the responsibility. But looking at how Golden State trounced the Cavs, they're the team to beat. And I hate to say it, but that's the new NBA. Three-pointers, quick guards. I used to love, like, banging down low. And
here's what I would say. I would actually say that the Cavs would have beaten Golden State.
With their health?
With one or the other.
You think so?
I say that because defensively, I think they would have been okay, right? I think they had the defense to really slow them down.
Yeah.
What they didn't have is they didn't have anybody else aside from LeBron contributing on an offensive level. With the maybe Timothy Mosgrove or whatever the
Mosgrove
was. I don't know his name.
Mosgrove
sounds like, you know, he's Italian.
Yeah, he had like career highs.
He had career highs because there was nobody else. Like Iman Shumpert couldn't score a basket. J.R. Smith had one hot game.
He's a fucking Looney Tune. Man.
He is a disease. I don't know. I mean, he is so, not only is he hot and cold, but you give him the ball. Don't expect everybody should just walk away.
And just jack a three.
Because he's just like throwing them over his head.
Brain dance.
Yeah, he throws it up underneath his leg because, oh, I can at least get it out of my hands. Yeah. Maybe I'll put it up.
He looks like he got hit in the head with a shovel.
Ugh.
Like his eyes are crossed. I don't know.
All those tattoo ink, it's just going to his brain.
Yeah, he's trouble. I don't know that he'll be back.
But
if they had Kyrie, then that means Dellavedova wouldn't have played as much. Which means maybe Steph Curry goes nuts again. Because he was in trouble. Yeah.
To a degree, but he still got 30 points a game.
True.
Like, you're not counting that out. Like, he was still hitting 30 points a game.
And maybe not in like, game three or when they went to Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was a different Steph. But I fucking hate Dellavedova. I think he's a dirty player. I hate how he rolls into people's legs.
Oh, yeah. He's just, like, throwing his body whatever he can.
He's so, like, I mean, to his credit, he is a scrappy guy who doesn't want to do the things that players won't do.
And I honestly think that was probably the most physical finals I've seen since, like, the Jazz and the Bulls.
Oh, yeah. LeBron getting his head hit.
Dude, it was
crying.
Just, like, it was intense.
It was intense.
It was intense.
Everybody play the tough guy and shit, all right.